This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be a question session reviewing multiple choice questions related to rehab and prosthetics, which is one of the topics we covered this past week on the podcast. So let's get right into it. The first question reads, a prosthetic polycentric knee with hydraulic swing control is chosen for a very active 63-year-old transfemoral amputee. All of the following appropriately describes the features of this prosthesis except, and the choices are 1, flexes in a controlled manner, 2, variable cadence, 3, ability to walk at a moderately fast pace, 4, knee center of rotation is fixed anterior to the line of weight bearing, and 5, weighs more than a constant friction knee that has a manual extension locking mechanism. The correct answer to this question is 4, knee center of rotation is fixed anterior to the line of weight bearing. So a polycentric knee has a variable, not fixed, center of rotation. When the center of rotation is posterior to the line of weight bearing, it allows control in the stance phase, but makes flexion more difficult. However, when the center of rotation is anterior to the line of weight bearing, flexion is improved, but control is sacrificed. The piston mechanism in the hydraulic knee allows variable cadence by changing resistance to knee flexion. This prosthesis also flexes in a controlled manner by limiting excessive flexion and by extending earlier in the gait cycle. The polycentric knee with hydraulic swing control is best for active patients who prefer greater utility and variability, but it does weigh more than the constant friction knee hinge that has a manual extension locking mechanism. Moving on to the next question. Patients with transradial amputations are considered the best candidates for myoelectric prosthesis. Each of the following are advantages of a myoelectric device compared to a body-controlled device except. And the choices are 1, provides more proximal function, 2, better cosmesis, 3, more sensory feedback, 4, can be used in any position including overhead activities, and 5, requires less gross limb movement. The correct answer to this question is 3, more sensory feedback. So myoelectric devices provide less sensory feedback than body-controlled devices. Other disadvantages of myoelectric prosthesis include that they are heavier, more expensive, and require more maintenance. Myoelectric prostheses work by using surface electrodes that detect electrical activity from the muscles of the residual limb and transmitting these impulses to the electric motor. Patients with transradial amputations are considered the best candidates for a myoelectric prosthesis because only the terminal device needs to be activated at this level of amputation. Moving on to the next question. All the following are advantages of a body-controlled prosthesis compared to a myoelectric prosthesis for patients with upper extremity amputations except. And the choices are 1, better for heavy labor activities, 2, decreased amount of harnessing, 3, decreased amount of therapy for training, 4, lighter weight, and 5, less prosthetic maintenance. The correct answer to this question is 2, decreased amount of harnessing. So body-controlled prostheses typically require more harnessing, and the harness ring is best placed at C7 past the midline towards the non-amputated side, compared to a myoelectric prosthesis. Body-powered prostheses are better for heavy labor activities and are triggered by shoulder flexion and abduction. Myoelectric prostheses are cosmetically appealing, adapt well for sedentary use, and can be used for overhead maneuvers. Moving on to the next question. In consideration of a prosthetic knee, each of the following are advantages of choosing a polycentric knee with fluid control over a constant friction knee except. And the choices are 1, allows variations in cadence, 2, flexes in a more controlled manner, 3, lighter in weight, 4, improved stance control allows less energy expenditure, and 5, overall length of the limb is shortened during initiation of a step, reducing the risk of stumbling. The correct answer to this question is 3, lighter in weight. So single-axis, constant friction knees function as a simple hinge. They are light, durable, and much cheaper prostheses, making them ideal for growing children who will need multiple prostheses before reaching adulthood. This prosthesis allows only a single speed of walking and relies solely on alignment for stance phase stability. Polycentric knees offer each of the advantages that we just stated, making it a more ideal prosthesis for the active adult. Disadvantages of the polycentric knee include cost, weight, and a more sophisticated maintenance. Moving on to the next question. A 45-year-old patient with a below knee amputation is interested in hiking as a hobby. He would like to know more about his satch foot before selecting a different terminal device. A satch foot or non-dynamic response, otherwise known as a non-energy storing foot, as compared to the dynamic response foot or an energy storing foot, demonstrates all of the following except, and the choices are 1, less frequent replacement, 2, less dorsiflexion, 3, longer duration in the mid stance of gait, 4, increased ground reaction forces to the contralateral limb, and 5, diminished maximal gait velocity. The correct answer to this question is 3, longer duration in the mid stance of gait. So the non-dynamic response foot, known as the solid ankle cushion heel or satch, was introduced in the 1950s and consists of a non-articulating wood keel surrounded by soft foam molded in the shape of a foot. The keel is entirely rigid and is unable to dorsiflex at late mid-stance, resulting in an excessive rise in the center of mass as the patient progresses through stance on the prosthetic side. The elevation of the center of mass leads to increased loads on the sound side as weight is shifted from the prosthesis to the sound limb. The dynamic response foot consists of a keel which dynamically deforms under load but retains the memory of its pre-stress configuration to return to its original shape on removing the load. The keel effectively becomes a spring, allowing sufficient dorsiflexion and decreasing load on the sound side while still providing an adequate spring-like response for push-off. This also means that the dynamic response foot has increased time in mid-stance of the gait. The dynamic response foot allows for much more active ambulation and has a faster gait velocity potential. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following amputations has the least increase in metabolic demand for walking compared to a healthy patient without amputation? And the choices are 1, traumatic transtibial amputation, 2, vascular transtibial amputation, 3, vascular through knee amputation, 4, traumatic transfemoral amputation, and 5, vascular transfemoral amputation. The correct answer to this question is 1, traumatic transtibial amputation. So metabolic demands for walking increase after amputation in the lower extremity. In general, traumatic amputations increase the metabolic demands of walking less than those performed for vascular lesions. This is because patients who require amputation for vascular disease likely have continued vascular pathology above the amputation. Moving on to the next question. A 44-year-old male with a transtibial amputation is interested in doing more hiking as a hobby. However, he has had difficulty negotiating uneven terrain with a solid ankle, cushioned heel, or a satch prosthetic foot. Which of the following modifications to the new prosthesis is most appropriate? And the choices are 1, single-axis foot, 2, shortened keel articulated dynamic response foot, 3, lengthened keel articulated dynamic response foot, 4, sagittal split keel articulated dynamic response foot, and 5, rigid keel non-articulated dynamic response foot. The correct answer to this question is 4, sagittal split keel articulated dynamic response foot. So an articulated dynamic response prosthesis have replaced satch prosthesis as the standard foot. The article by Romo states that articulated dynamic prosthesis incorporates axial joints to provide articulation rather than solely relying on keel deformation to provide dorsiflexion in the stance phase of gait. Once the patient has reached the end of range of motion allowed by the articulation, the keel may deform with a spring-like dynamic response. The keel deforms under load, becoming a spring and allowing dorsiflexion to provide a spring-like response for push-off. Most dynamic response feet have a flexible keel. These characteristics make a flexible keel articulated dynamic response prosthesis ideal for accommodating uneven surfaces. The addition of a sagittal split keel allows for more inversion and eversion, allowing even better navigation of uneven terrain. A shortened keel is indicated for moderate-level ambulators, and lengthened keels are indicated for very high-level demand athletes. A single-axis foot only allows for dorsi-slash-plantar flexion, but has poor cosmesis and durability. Moving on to the next question. A 35-year-old woman with a transtibial prosthesis is seen to have knee buckling, or quote-unquote drop-off, during terminal stance. What prosthetic modification would correct this problem? And the choices are 1, dorsiflex the prosthetic foot, 2, move the foot more posterior, 3, increase the flexibility slash softness of the keel, 4, move the toe break of the prosthesis more posterior, and 5, move the foot more anterior. The correct answer to this question is 5, move the foot more anterior. So drop-off refers to knee buckling or excessive knee flexion as the limb transitions from mid-stance, normally the knee is extending, to terminal stance, which is the start of the heel-off phase that leads to knee flexion. Knee flexion normally occurs with the passing of the center of gravity over the metatarsal phalangeal joints. If the body weight is carried over these joints prematurely, then early knee flexion or drop-off occurs. Therefore, any prosthetic variable that decreases anterior support, for example, dorsiflex position of the prosthetic foot that is too posterior, too flexible slash soft of a keel, and a toe break that is placed too posterior, would accentuate this gait abnormality by moving the center of gravity more posterior. Moving on to the next question. A 27-year-old patient comes in for a new prescription for his below knee amputation prosthesis because it is not fitting properly. All the following are complaints and examination findings consistent with the prosthetic foot that is placed too far inset, except, and the choices are 1, varus strain, 2, socket pain located medial and proximal, 3, increased knee extension during stance, 4, socket pain located lateral and distal, and 5, circumducted gait. The correct answer to this question is 3, increased knee extension during stance. So increased knee extension during stance can be a result of a heel that is too soft or a foot that is placed too anterior. Posterior placement of the prosthetic foot or a heel that is too hard will increase knee flexion slash instability at heel strike. A prosthetic foot that is too far inset produces varus strain, pain that is proximal slash medial and distal slash lateral at the socket, and a circumducted gait. A prosthetic foot that is too far outset will produce valgus strain, socket pain that is proximal slash lateral and distal slash medial, as well as a broad base gait. Moving on to the next question. A prosthetic foot which incorporates a multi-axis articulated foot assembly is recommended for which of the following amputees? And the choices are 1, low-functioning diabetic who needs to transfer from bed to a chair, 2, long-distance runner with a below-knee amputation, 3, elderly male with an above-knee amputation, 4, below-knee amputee who needs to regularly walk on uneven ground, and 5, 10-year-old male with an above-knee amputation from osteosarcoma. The correct answer to this question is 4, below-knee amputee who needs to regularly walk on uneven ground. So the multi-axis articulated foot assembly is the best prosthetic for ambulation over uneven ground and functions best for below-knee amputations. Low-functioning patients who need a prosthesis for transfers would probably benefit from a solid ankle, cushioned heel prosthesis. Runners and athletes often require a high-end carbon fiber prosthesis. Patients with above-knee amputations have several options to optimize ambulation, including solid, energy-storing, and multi-axial prosthesis. And moving on to the final question, what is the most important factor when choosing an optimal lower limb prosthesis for an adult patient? And the choices are 1, prosthesis cost, 2, patient comorbidities, 3, patient functional status, 4, patient gender, and 5, patient age. The correct answer to this question is 3, patient functional status. So the most important factor when choosing an optimal lower limb prosthesis for an adult patient is the current and potential functional requirements of the patient. Pinzer reviewed 90 patients treated with lower extremity amputations for peripheral vascular insufficiency and found the current and potential functional status of the patient were more important than any other factor in creating the best lower limb prosthesis for the patient. That's all for this question review session about rehab and prosthetics. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.